Yeah, so we'll kind of try to go through the show pretty quick like that. Shall we start in T minus 3 minutes and counting?
Yeah.
Or are you ready to go now?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
Word.
Did you know they made a reproduction of Fort Dearborn, by the way, for Ripley's Believe It or Not?
I do not believe it or not.
Wow.
Right when I was about to hit the button. I was like, are you guys ready?
You should stay. That should,
I'm definitely starting the show with that shit right there. All right, jackasses, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners in Chicago and around the world, Windy City citizens and surrounding suburbanites, tech-savvy millennials, and baby-booming Luddites, welcome to yet another very special The Game Show Show and Stop! With games and stuff, music, comedy, variety, and more. News, reviews, interviews, now with 100% more profanity. Trivia games, guessing games, physical challenges, on the radio, this is Podcast Network.
Everyone, everywhere, in all time periods, of all corners of the earth,
in all dimensions of the universe,
in perpetuity throughout the galaxy.
Welcome to the Game Show Show and Stuff. Yeah. My name is Anderson Laufer. Oh my gosh, do we have some show for you today.
Some show,
the most
indeed.
Positive show on the internet, I
no
like to say.
No doubt.
And with us, as usual, is the amicable and bright Mr. James Anthony Zocchelli Jazz.
Hey, thank you, Anderson. Thank you, everybody. Please do not use my government name. I've asked you so nicely so many times.
And sitting on the opposite side of the studio from moi is the ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
And adaptable.
Yes.
And calm and communicative.
Yeah, that too.
Jonathan Isabel Moran. There they are.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
Hey, everybody, how's it going? Hey, everybody, how's it going? Hey, everybody.
I'm so amicable.
Hey, everybody.
I am amicable.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? Hey, everybody, how's it going?
He's so nice, we had to do it twice.
Hey, everybody.
People love this song.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Amicable.
Amicable as fuck.
So
amicable AF.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's great.
Nice to see you guys today.
Yeah.
Nice to be
For a couple reasons. I need some questions answered, and I thought maybe you guys could help me out.
We'll try.
Before we jump right into the show.
This is our personal Ask Andy.
Ooh, the first thing you need to know, dear listener, about the show today is the great Ellie Reed from... The Netflix series Girl Boss will be joining us today.
That's right.
Yeah. Huge.
So that'll
Huge.
Be fun.
Huge.
And that'll be in about a half an hour.
All right. We can hardly wait. We're waiting with bated breath. Listen to.
But I have a couple questions I need to start with.
Okay, let's get them out there.
My first question comes from a moment I had right before I got here to the studio today.
Okay.
I ordered some Indian food down the street.
Yes, you did.
And while
lovely.
I was
Gareeb Nawaz.
Gareeb Nawaz, that's right. And as I was waiting for the food,
mm-hmm.
three tall Chinese men
uh-huh.
with their hair slicked back,
okay.
wearing nice clothes,
yeah.
show up wearing those face masks, like those surgical face masks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure, you know, the Chinese sure. people
yeah.
wear?
Uh-huh, sure, sure.
And they were wearing black ones,
ooh,
which is extra scary.
A little scary, I may imagine.
Seeing any Chinese person in a face mask is scary. It's like, what do you know that I don't know?
Right? How about anybody in a mask?
Yes.
In general a, public.
But, you know, especially old Chinese ladies, because
sure.
we have romanticized Chinese ladies
oh, so
as,
much.
As being in our culture as being oracles or mm. wizards.
Sure, sure. To some degree.
You have watched
so when I
too
see
many these weird movies.
When I see a Chinese lady pushing a grocery cart down the street with an Aldi bag inside and she has a surgical mask on,
mm-hmm.
I think this bitch must know something I don't.
Yeah, probably.
Don't you feel that way too?
Well, I think that you get to a certain age and you begin to worry about your constitution more anyway, and then because the mask is sort of part of that culture because there's so many more people and so much more exposure. I think it really has just become kind of customary.
It's just part of life for those guys.
I think so, a little bit.
And because of the amount of pollutants in
yeah,
China
absolutely.
At this point.
Absolutely. They know that. So they but when very
three,
well.
When three guys in their 20s,
sure.
all strapping young men, mm-hmm. show up in nice clothes with black surgical masks
mm-hmm.
on,
right.
you think some shit is about to go down.
It does sound like, ominous.
Like what? Like they're going to rob the place?
Or they're going to throw anthrax in the big pillowcase full of anthrax right in the middle of the room.
Oh. That's a lot of anthrax.
Yeah. I thought maybe you were going to say that like a ninja battle was about to happen. That's what I would think.
A ninja battle would be cool.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, look, but here's the thing. If you lived in a family or in a community or whatever where wearing that sort of protection was customary, wouldn't you want it to look dope? I know I would. It's kind of like,
would.
You know how kids have like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Band-Aids and stuff? I'd have like a fucking Batman face mask or some mm-hmm. shit. I don't know. I'd be trying to rock some style.
If I had one of those masks that you're talking about, I'd have like the skeletal jaw.
Yeah.
With the
yeah.
teeth
yeah.
like that. Over the top.
Yeah.
Like but instead, these three guys walk into the Indian place right behind me. And I'm uh-huh. like, oh no, some shit's about to go down. So I'm about to go run and hide under a table. And then one of the guys takes his mask off from uh-huh. one ear. And he has a lateral lisp. And he's ordering Indian food.
Holy shit.
Wow.
And he's like, can I get some chicken, some chili chicken biryani, please? I was like, this motherfucker is not going to kill anyone.
I don't know what would have given you that impression
like
in the first place.
Unless you point out his lisp.
Ooh,
he might
yeah.
kill you.
Yep.
Yeah. I definitely have it coming.
Yeah. That's right. You would. Come on, sucker.
Well, that is really weird.
Well, thanks for settling that.
Uh-huh. I don't feel like we really
no, we
answered any questions.
You just said it was a cultural...
Yeah. Practice. It's just a practice. It's common practice because of, like Johnny Moe said, there's so much pollution there that, you know, it's just become a part of daily life. And so many people use public transportation. Lord knows all of us should be wearing rubber gloves when we
at
go out.
Least.
Do you know what I mean?
God.
Yeah.
If they put a black light on our hands right
oh,
now, geez. How much poop would we have of other people right on our hands? I mean, Johnny Moe would have the most.
I would say so. Because I just came
oh,
from the outside world.
You
so.
Just came from Hokkaido.
Yeah, yeah. You poop hands.
So there's shit everywhere in those gyms. Everywhere.
Some dude was wiping his ass on your yeah. face
Somebody
earlier.
Somebody jizzed on your neck. Great.
Oh,
yeah,
my
we need a
gosh.
Surgical neck mask.
Wow. Well,
all this jizz flying around.
Getting
people are throwing ropes all over town.
Well, getting jizz like on your neck reminds me.
The okay. Peter North Hapkido Gym.
Oh, gross. Well, getting jizz on your neck reminds me that it's time for Shaka Khan, ladies and gentlemen. I think Johnny might have already told us something good, but this is the segment where everybody has to tell me something good.
Tell me something good.
Tell me something good.
yeah. So no bitching, no moaning, no whining, no complaining. All the things that we are loath to do in this day and age, at this present time, with the world being what it is. We're going to try to not talk about any of that nasty stuff. Let's talk about all the nice stuff. Anybody feeling particularly compelled to share first?
I'll go. I was thinking about it on the way over.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the process of trying to lose some weight right now.
Okay.
And I was thinking one of the best parts about losing weight, my Chaka Khan moment for the week, was thinking in my head that when I lose weight, I can start making fat people jokes again.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I can start body shaming people who aren't thin like me.
Because that's, yeah. That's your wheelhouse.
Nice. Well, that's great.
Folks, and since you can't see it, he's sweating
profusely
right now.
Only a year away.
Next spring.
That's right.
Thin Andy. Ready. You better watch out, fat people.
Get ready, you fat fucks. You're all in trouble.
I'm writing and sweating. Just writing shit.
Everybody's getting roasted on the street.
Wow, that's nice. What you got for us, Johnny Moe, besides getting jizzed on the neck?
What's better than that?
I don't know.
I had a really good class today. It was super hard. We had a different master come in and teach class, and he was especially hard on us. And what I found was that I'm kicking higher. Like my endurance is a little bit better. I mean, it's always going to be a challenge just because you're learning a whole new discipline.
Sure.
But, you know, afterwards I felt like I learned something.
Nice.
I learned a new combination.
Awesome.
And so it's one of those things where when you take class and you study something new like this, you got to take the good with the bad, and you won't always feel good about what you do after every class. But today I felt good.
Felt good or felt great?
Felt good.
Good is good enough.
Yeah.
Good's great.
That's all we want to hear on Chaka Khan is telling us something good.
Great would be if I had earned a belt.
Yeah, don't
today.
Tell me something great.
That's a whole different segment. That might be the Isaac Hayes. I don't know what segment that would be.
No, that would be the Ric Flair.
Whoa, there you go. A nice woo would be fun. Why didn't I think of that? You know I'm a huge Ric Flair fan.
Yeah.
So
that's all he talks about.
That's all I talk about. Look, I got Ric Flair up there in the Itemporium, hovering over the Nativity Jesus.
The baby Jesus.
Because they look, Nature Boy and Baby Jesus, because they have such a resemblance. Oh, man. Well, let's see. Besides, well, you know, I went to C2E2 this past weekend.
Cool.
Yeah.
With my girl and her 10-year-old daughter.
Nice.
And my girl's sister and her 1-year-old son. It was like a really
a whole lot of shit going on.
Yeah, a whole lot of shit going on there. But it was a ton of fun. I got some really great pictures of stuff that's now on my Instagram. I got like probably a dozen pictures and you know, put them up there, tagged them C2E2.
What's your Instagram for everybody on the
internet?
It's
just my full name, James Anthony Zoccoli. So okay. you can find me on Instagram that away, or at People Call Me Jazz on Twitter. But anyway, I only saw one comic book that really caught my eye. Cause you know, when you go to something like this, you want to get one thing. Actually, you want to get everything.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
But you can't. So you got to pick one thing. So, I saw this comic book called Space Riders and this first issue called Galaxy of Brutality. On Black Mass Comics. I know it sounds really...
sounds dumb, but hear me out.
It sounds like a sex dungeon.
Weird, ominous, and geeky. But it reminded me of the colors and just sort of the style reminded me of that kind of rudimentary comic stuff that Jack Kirby did, like in the early Hulk and the early Thor and Iron Man.
I'll say that looks like early Hulk for sure.
Kind of square and, you know, I don't know, just basic, you know, not as detailed and, you know, fantastic as like all the modern shit is. And then, I picked up his, little, compendium here and I didn't even notice it. He tagged it on the inside, like he signed both of them. But then right across the top of the page, in the first thing, it says dedicated to Jack Kirby right on top. So that was cool. that was his whole MO. And the artist, his name is Alexis. His name is Alexis Zirit, and you can find him on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. And he does really cool work. The colors are that really old kind of like very extreme. You know, just looks really, really sweet.
So what was the sexiest outfit that somebody was walking around in?
Wow, the sexiest outfit that someone
was there any hot
Luke Skywalkers?
Supergirls or Khaleesi's?
Batgirls?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You mean besides my girlfriend?
Of course.
Let's see.
And her sister.
Yeah,
whatever.
I was going to say.
And her kid.
Right. I'm trying to think. You know, I mean, there was basically a sexy everything. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
There's basically a version of everything. I'm trying to think of anyone that stood out, though, because actually the ones that are the most interesting are the ones that you've never seen before, mm-hmm. or that are atypical, like you said, like a sexy Han Solo, and it's like this hot chick dressed like Han Solo, right. And you're like, whoa.
I want to fuck Han Solo.
I totally want to fuck Han Solo.
Slutty Han Solo. Yeah.
You like walk up to him. And you're
Han Solo's blowing everybody in the parking lot. In the Cavalia horse tent.
Yeah, it's out there. That Cavalia show. Did you see, speaking of Instagram, did you see the picture that I put up?
No.
Okay, so I put up a picture of their bus promotion, which is on those shelters, you know, on a lot of the corners. And it literally just says, the best show ever.
That's it.
That's all it says. So I was like, the best marketing ever. That's what fucking asshole marketing guy gets paid a shit ton of money to come up with that bullshit concept.
Hey, that's not bullshit, though. If I read that, I'd be like, holy shit, I must go see this.
You think?
And I had a lot of friends who went to see Cavalia, and they were like, it is really fucking good.
Okay.
When people ask me on the tour what it is, I say, it's like a horse circus.
Yeah.
I think.
It's like Cirque du Soleil for horses.
That's it.
They're painted and doing expressionistic things. No, I don't know.
And when the other tour guides are like, hey, did you go see Cavalia? I said, no, I'm not so into animal cruelty. And they're like, are you kidding? Those horses are treated better than people. And I said, oh, but people can choose where they go. They don't have to live in a fucking parking lot in Chicago.
Right. Or be carted all over the country, you know, in the back of a fucking truck.
And then run in circles for food.
Right. And have people, like, yell at them and snap pictures and get flashbulbs and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's a hard. It's hard being a
Cavalia horse.
I think they're the Lippenzeers. Is that right?
Goddamn
Lippenzeer. Oh, my gosh.
Now they've got Jewish last names, too.
Oh, God. Hold on. Now I feel like a jerk because I blurted it out.
Anyway, was there like a slutty Toxic Avenger there? Or?
man, I got to tell you, I'm not just saying this. Nothing really stood out. There, actually, it's funny. The ones that stood out are the ones that were like unusual. So for me, like the quirky ones, like where like there were some people there. There was one guy in particular who was a Batman, and his costume was so like ramshackle and like whatever that like I thought it was kind of like a joke. But then like when I examined him more closely, like it seemed that he may have some sort of he may have had some sort of issues. I'm not even trying to make a joke. I know that this is a comedy show, and so I probably shouldn't be talking about serious things.
You can't make jokes about
without expecting people to joke about it. But yeah, so he was kind of like, wow. Then there was another dude, and it wasn't, and I saw this guy first. He was a dude who's dressed up in a Deadpool mask, but he just had a t-shirt and some pajamas and like some mismatch, slippers on and a robe, and he had a sign that said, God hates Wolverine. And I thought it was one of the funniest things I had ever seen.
That is true Deadpool style.
Right,
yeah,
totally.
That's true.
But because I later saw the Batman dude.
Slow Batman. Made,
yeah, Slow Batman. Because I saw Slow Batman, it made me wonder even more about Deadpool because I didn't even get to see Deadpool's face because he's totally behind the mask.
Yeah.
The other guy, I got to like make eye contact with him. Like I kind of had to move out of his way and I had seen him a couple times elsewhere. And the first time I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then the next time I saw him, I was like, is that actually cool? And then when he was coming past me, I was like, that's not cool. That's not at all cool.
Wonder if his mom was like, don't leave the house in that Derek.
Exactly. That's so sad. I bet it was. I bet it was. And then what was the other one? Oh, and then
those are uneven ears, Derek.
They were really
uneven. Take your pill.
Yeah, exactly.
Take your pill and go to bed. None of this is real.
You're all going to die anyway. Oh. Derek.
Hey, come on, guys. This is this is spinning sharply out of the Shaka Khan realm.
Slow Batman.
Come on now.
Slow Batman. Derek, I'm going as for Halloween. Derek the Slow Batman.
Anyway.
Oh, lordy, lord, lord. So, yeah, so those were the ones that stood out. Also, there was a guy. There was, like, this really skinny, kind of, like, ratty-haired dude with, like, wispy facial hair who was dressed, like, in a Ghost in the Shell thing. Like,
Jesus,
like,
really? Really?
Like, yeah. And, like, no sheer layer underneath, like, covering his flesh. Just the, like, weird, like, strap. You know, it's, like, very kind of square design. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, of course, the wig and whatever. But, like, it was just really, it was really bizarre. So, I hate to say it as a dude, but, like, I don't really remember many of the sexy things because they're just everywhere. They're just all over the place, man. There's just, like, women, you know, who are I mean, that's their prom. You know what I mean? That's their formal.
Yeah.
And so they get all dressed up and they, you know, get into the tight stuff and the revealing stuff, and they go out and they do their thing.
And God bless them, too.
Amen.
Wild. Wild.
So that's my Shaka Khan moment for the week. And I hope that, you know, you appreciate all the other good things that we're telling you here on the game show, showing stuff.
Shaka Khan!
During Shaka Khan.
Tell me something good.
So well, that's now, that.
We just have a few minutes before we talk to Ellie Green.
Mm-hmm. Ellie Reed.
Ellie Reed.
Okay, so we'll cut that part out.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and do whatever you want to transition into. Just do it.
So we have a few minutes before we talk to Ellie Reed.
Okay.
So instead of starting the news right now,
mm-hmm.
I had another thing I wanted to bring up to you guys. Tell me what you thought of.
All right. What could it be?
Now, I went to the Bulls playoff game
on
Friday night.
Oh, did you?
We were so excited. We got tickets for like...
Tough game to watch.
$55.
Wow,
really?
Yeah.
Good deal.
And we went, and we're sitting there, and we're so excited, even though we know that the third game for a Bulls playoff series is the worst game. Always.
Probably.
Every year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty much.
They always start strong, and then Rondo hurt his hand, and you know, shit was just going to go bad.
Right. Yep.
And the Bulls are kind of on borrowed time, let's all admit.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. They were 41-41. They shouldn't have even made the playoffs. I'm actually mad that they made the playoffs. I wish the Heat had made the playoffs. The Heat is a much more interesting team to watch.
Well, the Bulls are our little, what do you call that train? That's like, I think
the,
I can.
The
I
little
think
train
I,
that could.
Yeah, Thomas,
the tank
they're
engine?
The little trains that can. That
yeah,
can.
Yeah. And look, and I'm a huge Bulls fan. I love the Bulls. I want the Bulls to do well, but like this year was like a whole lot of nothing, yeah. And I felt like we didn't deserve it.
Well,
so I didn't even want to be
if
there.
If they can beat the Celtics,
yeah,
then they can. We know they can beat the Cavs.
Oh yeah,
we beat
that's
them four
true.
Games in a row. This
that's
year.
True. We did. We
never
did.
Lost to them.
That's a good point.
So they can do it.
You're
so
right.
We go and we're sitting up in the nosebleed seats, and you know we have our popcorn and
mm-hmm.
beers and watching the game and everything, and. Right behind us sits a row of Celtics fans.
Oh,
like
no.
Really fucking obnoxious bros.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
You know?
The worst.
And then in front of us is one Celtics fan that every time we cheer, she looks back at us and, like, gives us a little look.
What?
Like a... I don't know how to describe this look.
Okay.
To the listener. But it's like
an eye roll and a neck roll,
yeah, like a teenage,
all at the same
like
time. She was doing all of it.
You just told a teenage girl to change her clothes.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And then next to us sits down a woman in all Bulls gear and her little, the cutest little black kid, like a little 7-year-old kid, right?
Oh.
We sit down and she instantly starts berating this kid.
No.
Wait, telling the person in front of you?
No, the mom.
Oh.
With the kid.
With the cute kid.
Like, she's cursing at him. She's like, you're so fucking ungrateful. Fuck you. And how
oh
dare
God.
You not, like, just screaming at
using
the kid.
Those words at, a,
yeah.
at the kid? Oh, my
right.
God.
And the kid is just sitting there, and he looks so sad.
I bet he's mortified. Yeah.
And the mom's like, give me some of your popcorn. And he's like, no, I want to finish it. And she's like, how fucking dare you? You're so ungrateful and, like, screaming at this kid.
Whoa.
And I was like, what should I say? Like, are we responsible to say something to parents in those situations?
I don't know, man.
I don't think you can. I don't really think you can.
Here was my first thought. I thought about it a long time.
Mm-hmm. What
if,
I'm sure.
if I should say something? Because it sure happened all game
I'm sure you were thinking about that more than the game. That
more
kind of stuff is distracting as hell, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I came down on the thought that what I would do if I did say something is I would say to the kid, hey, kid, right in front of his mom, hey, kid, listen. In 10 years, you'll be old enough that you don't ever have to talk to that person ever again.
Okay. That's an interesting thought. But
here's the thing. So, you know, with the post-election, everybody was concerned about minorities being chastised in public. Mm-hmm. And so there was all these messages and videos out about how you can confront someone who's being berated, like in public transportation or out in public. And it had to do with coming over to the person who was being berated and then basically pretending to be their friend and ignoring the person who's berating them. So maybe in that case, you would get the kid's attention and say, hey, this is your first Bulls game. Isn't this awesome?
Yeah.
And kind of just like start
change
a conversation.
Totally.
Exactly. And basically not shout down the person who's berating, but basically just cut them off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the way to go. Because you're not making it more combative. Right? By berating them, you're bringing it back to making it about the kid.
Nikki gave him her Bulls sign that says, like, let's go Bulls.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
So that was cool.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, there's a whole theory in play in a lot of communities, you know, where it's, and there was a documentary about it called The Interrupters, I think. And it's about you know, interrupting stuff. And so maybe you could, you know, the challenge is, you know, to not say something negative because you don't know the details. You don't know nothing. You just know that you don't like what you see and you want to make that a positive thing, right? So like, like Johnny Mo said, I might have been like, I might have asked like, you know, can I do something? Or, you know, what am I thinking? I might have asked, you know, is there something I can get for you guys? Like, do you want another popcorn? I'm going to the thing. You know what I mean? Just try to like inject some positivity. Yeah. I'm going to the concession stand. Can I get you something to maybe lighten the situation somehow? Mm-hmm. And then maybe you can divert that energy, but you can't just confront it directly and be like, you can't talk to your kid that way. And that's how you get smacked up.
Well, I don't want to say that you can't talk to your kid that way, but I wanted to say, why don't you shut the fuck up?
Oh yeah.
That's
what we all want to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
But that doesn't
like, I don't
help
care.
Anybody.
Like at the end of the day, the kid is a distant second to me having a good time. Yeah, in the game.
Absolutely.
Well, until you do that, and the person takes it out on the kid when they get home.
Yeah.
And they fucking beat them up.
Yeah, no, that's no good. So, yeah, you should have just been like, hey, great play. Maybe high five with them every once in a while. You know, I don't know. I mean, you just got to try to do something to inject that positivity in a place where it doesn't seem to be coming from naturally.
Or maybe if we all teamed up and screamed at that one Celtics fan.
there you go. Yeah. That would have helped.
Yeah, okay.
She was sitting with her... I'm guessing her husband or boyfriend or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sitting there, and every time the Celtics scored, she would pat his leg and laugh in his ear. And he had a Bulls jersey on.
Oh, my God.
He was sitting there, like, shaking his head.
That's the
fucking
worst.
Well, she's not getting laid tonight.
This sucks for you. And I'm sure he paid for the ticket.
Oh, yeah. Of course he did.
Yeah.
He's the Bulls fan.
Oh, my God. But the whole thing, we were like, I wish there was a policy in place where you could call the United Center and say, listen, I know I bought these tickets from a third party. There's got to be a way out of this fucking misery right now.
Here's the other thing you could have done, maybe.
What's that?
Gone to security.
Mm, maybe.
Like whomever was watching the aisle.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Like they do in most stadiums now.
Sure.
And said, hey, listen, I'm pretty concerned about the situation that's happening by my seats here. And I don't know if, you know, I didn't want to get in the middle of it.
Right.
But you might be able to handle this a little better than I would.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd have to be pretty extreme for you to go talk to
I'd have to like see something, say something, right?
Yeah.
What if I was like this lady and then the eight Celtics fans around me all have bombs? I'm just letting you know, but none of us do.
That's a pretty diabolical plan there, buddy, because you're not only getting them kicked out of your section, you might be getting them like deported.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Now the black kid has to come home with us, the cutest black kid on earth. That's what we're looking for, by the way. Hey, anybody has a cute black kid out there, we want to adopt him.
Wow.
I think there's places you can go. You don't have to appeal to our listenership.
I screamed on the web.
Hey, the dark web.
Yeah. I put it on the podcast, and then I put a note on Craigslist as well. So hopefully that'll turn something
that'll
up.
That'll be great.
I just put it under the men for children section. It's a good place to look for black kids.
This is taking quite a turn.
Leave it to Andy.
To make it so weird.
Indeed. Well, maybe we should take a break right now.
And then come back with Ellie Reed from Girl Boss right after this.
From J&A Enterprises, the people who brought you the smash hit television show, You Been Ninja'd, comes an action thriller of biblical proportions. He was a sworn officer of the law.
Yeah, I serve and protect.
Who became a sworn officer of the Lord.
But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Now he's a priest and a cop and a whole lot more. Fighting crimes in Jesus' name. Amen. And the bad guys better say their prayers. He gets his marching orders from the chief of police, but he gets his holy orders from the King of Kings, Officer Father Jones.
Jones, you're the pride of your precinct and your parish, yar.
Next summer, witness the genesis of a police story that will be a revelation in American justice. Officer Father Jones. Amen. This feature has not yet been rated.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the game show, showing stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. I'm Jazz. He's Andy.
Thank you so much. Welcome back to the show. We are joined now from a Chicagoan who I'm guessing lives in Los Angeles nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
She's the new star of Girl Boss on Netflix, and her name is Ellie Reed. Ellie, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Fantastic.
Good
awesome.
To hear your voice. So,
thank you.
Let's start at the beginning. How did you get this show?
Oh man, yeah. I am from Chicago and I moved to LA about a year and a half ago. And I got this show. I got the audition for a self-tape for the lead, which any actor listening knows, you know, you generally feel like nobody sees those and you just tape something embarrassing in your living room and it goes off into a void.
Yep.
And turns out that's not always the case, because they saw it and they liked it and they called me in for the part of the best friend of the lead. And then I had a couple other auditions and a chemistry test and I got it, and it was very cool and crazy.
Man, all these tests. It must feel like you're becoming an astronaut or something, all the fucking tests they give you, right?
Oh, man, no, nobody should let me be an astronaut ever. That would be a terrible idea.
So what's the story with these Netflix shows? They film them all in one fell swoop, so you just take 2 months or something and film all the shows?
Yes. We filmed from late June through late October. Actually, so we took a couple of breaks, like for, you know, maybe a week at a time, but most of the time filming all the way through. It's a lot of work all at once, and then it all goes away very fast.
Yeah.
So now you're waiting to see if they're going to do a second season.
Yes, we are. I'm very hopeful, but we don't have any confirmation yet. So it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
So then it's our job as supporters to make sure everyone knows to download it and to watch it and to spread it out.
I mean, I don't think Netflix needs our help to go see their new hotness, the new show out there, but we're happy to do our part.
But we're trying to support an artist and
thank you.
Let's go and put it
I don't
on
think-
let's put it on our lists at least, and then you know, then binge it one weekend, and that's all you got to do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Put it on your list. Throw a shout out on Twitter or something. I bet they listen to that stuff.
Hell yeah,
that would be cool. Love it.
No doubt.
They love Twitter, I've been told.
So how's your life changed in the past few weeks since all this information has come out and they started hyping the show and it just came out, right? It just came out last week?
Friday. It just came out on Friday, so only a few days ago. My life has not changed very much. I wish I had something more exciting to say. I got a lot of new Instagram followers. That was cool. That was a big fun thing.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you know, it's so funny. So many people are like, you know, asking me if I've been recognized or anything. And I'm like, no, man, it's LA. There's just so many more interesting, more famous people to recognize all over the place.
Right.
So, yeah.
What's your Instagram handle so we can look you up right now as I'm doing?
Look it up. It's at ES Reed. ES Reed.
ES Reed.
Really creative.
R-E-I or E-E? Oh, there you are. Ellie Reed.
R-E-E.
R-E-E. There it is. Yeah, I got you. All right, sweet. Now you got one more Instagram follower.
So let me tell you how you can really make the news. And I don't suggest all this stuff, but this is just some advice that I have for you. If you really want to shoot to the top in the press.
This is going to be interesting as hell.
You need to show up on drugs at maybe a Taco Bell or a Jack in the Box in the middle of the night.
Yell at people, make a scene.
That's it.
There you go.
And you'll be a hit right away.
Mm-hmm. See, I've got the instincts for this. I know what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, you already knew half of it. You already knew half of what to do. You're off to a good start.
TMZ is going to be on your door ASAP.
So you finding auditions are easier to come by right now?
I hope so. I mean, again, you know, it just came out on Friday, so that is what all the agents and managers have promised me. So if they lied, you know, now we've got documentation of it.
And now this show is made by. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it would have been really exciting if just after one weekend and today I had like a ton of auditions. That would be very cool, but. Probably unrealistic.
Your face on billboards everywhere, and everybody's calling your name, and there's red carpet everywhere you go.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Comfortable.
So, Ellie, how are you enjoying living in Los Angeles right now?
I love it. I really like it. I know that's probably like blasphemy to Chicagoans, but... I love it. I really do like it. You know, you can't complain about the weather. I really, growing up in Chicago, I feel like I missed out on a lot of time outdoors, I would say. And I like being able to go outside at all times of the year. It's pretty great. And I don't mind driving. I'm one of those weirdos. So it's going well for me. I like it out here.
Do you have any projects lined up and right now?
I do, but I'm not allowed to talk about them. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
I know. Very fun.
I bet we can. I bet we can get them out of you.
Spoiler alert!
Is it...
I bet you can.
Is it is it something where you wear a cowboy hat?
Oh, I'm not commenting on any of this. What if they want me to wear a cowboy hat?
Darn it.
Then I seem like a buyer, and I am not that.
I have another guess. Does it involve you piloting a spaceship?
Oh, no, we went over this. Oh. Very bad idea.
No spaceships. She will never be an astronaut, Johnny.
Green screen runaway.
I cannot do that.
She's pleading the fifth.
Yeah, get it through your head, Johnny.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, Ellie, we have a game that we like to play with all of our friends who call in, and it's called Which is Worse?
Yes, Which is Worse? The game of things to compare and contrast where your mouth and your brain have to move real fast.
Ooh, okay.
That sounds great. And this is Ellie Reed, the star of Girl Boss on Netflix, who's joining us, and she's about to play Which Is Worse Jazz. Tell us how to play Which Is Worse.
Well, when you ask so nicely, Anderson, how could I refuse? Okay, Ellie, here's how it works. You will hear a series of 12 sets of two different things. You must instantly assess which you think is worse and name it. At the end of this down and dirty dozen, we will review your answers and tally the points. And that's how you play. Everyone say it with me. Which is worse?
So I have to answer really fast, right?
Yes, yes, please. No,
okay.
You know,
okay.
It's like your gut instinct.
Gut instinct only.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Ellie Reed. Which is worse, Snapchat or Instagram?
Snapchat.
Kate Moss or Cindy Crawford?
Oh, no. Cindy Crawford.
Gaultier or Chanel?
I don't know. Chanel?
Calvin Klein jeans or Wrangler jeans?
Wrangler jeans.
Lingerie or Spanx?
Lingerie.
Boxers or briefs?
Briefs.
L.A. bros or Chicago bros?
Chicago bros.
Dang.
Wow.
The Jeff Awards or the Broadway World Awards?
The Broadway World Awards.
All right, there we go.
All right.
That's it.
All right, that wasn't so bad.
Not bad. I told you, it's not so bad.
Yeah. Not at all. Now we'll review your answers
and tell you if you're right or wrong.
And you can tell us why you feel the way you do and defend your responses.
So it's more
okay.
Like, it's like a court case.
What a fun idea for a podcast.
All right. We asked you Snapchat or Instagram. You said
Snapchat.
And the answer is Snapchat, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes. I did it.
Snapchat sucks.
Yeah. All those filters.
Yeah. It's fine. I follow some people who I like, but I don't particularly know how to use it myself, which is why I mean, I know how. I'm just not interested in doing that, which is why I said it was worse.
Yeah.
I thought it was just for sexting and for millennials to, like, make funny, like, cat faces on their own face.
Right. That is a big part of it.
I think that's a large part of it. I think you're right.
So sexting, hashtag catface. All right.
Nice.
We said which is worse, Kate Moss or Cindy Crawford. You said Cindy Crawford and... I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Kate Moss is worse.
Damn!
Kate Moss is worse.
All right, what?
I don't know exactly. Johnny, why is Kate Moss worse than Cindy Crawford?
Well, she's a bit of an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. She has been known to be a little bit of a bitch, I guess.
Oh, man. I didn't know that.
Cindy Crawford, however, is a
model
person.
Yeah. Cindy Crawford is a saint!
Don't you dare say a crossword against Cindy Crawford!
Is there a reason why you prefer Kate Moss, Ellie? Or did you just, what is your rationale?
That was a hard one. I guess I was thinking about, like, you know, longevity of a career, and Kate Moss is really still going for it, and... You know, Cindy's a little older, but she's not as much. So, I don't know. That was really it. But I don't. I like both of them, even if one of them is an asshole. I guess I'm just not picky.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're good for you.
They're both good looking, and they both seem like they have redeeming qualities.
Yeah,
either way,
absolutely.
That's true.
Let's celebrate them both.
Amen.
And I don't know if you guys can tell, but this Which Is Worse was designed to kind of reflect what the subject matter of Girl Boss, which is about.
I had guessed. I was wondering if these were the exact questions all your guests got, or if this was tailored.
Tailored to you.
Tailored.
We ask these questions of everyone who's on Girl Boss.
Oh, good. Great.
Our next question was, which is worse, Gaultier or Chanel? You said Chanel. I'm sorry, that's another wrong answer, even though I don't know what Gaultier is.
Yeah. I don't know much about either.
I don't know much about either. I sort of guessed, you know, Chanel is super classic, but I feel like in my head, Gaultier has a little bit more out there kind of style. So I guess between that and Kate Moss, I'm clearly having like a very modern, know, out there, preference as opposed to very classic Cindy Crawford Chanel kind of thing.
Well, you literally are.
Guess that's the mood I'm in.
Well, you literally are proving that you know more about this than we do.
Yeah.
So
we are no one to judge.
I'm right and you're wrong. Everything about that, Johnny.
Whoa. See, I was saying Gaultier in the first place, which it clearly is not. You just said something else.
Gaultier.
Gaultier, yeah.
Gaultier.
Hey, what's
French?
Tell me what. Can you give me a brief synopsis, like an elevator pitch about what Girl Boss is about?
Sure. It's loosely based on the true story of a woman named Sophia Amoroso, who is a self-made, maybe billionaire, maybe millionaire, very, very wealthy self-made woman who started in the early 2000s selling vintage clothes on eBay and turned it into a whole big clothing line and a big brand.
Right.
So it's about how she, you know, went from rags to riches, as they say.
Literally.
Yeah, I see in the preview where she puts on the leather jacket and she's like, you don't know how much I just got this jacket for, right? That's the preview, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So she does, you know, there's one of the previews where she says, you know how some people flip houses, I flip clothes. And that's what she did. She'd either find things that were worth way more than what they were being sold for in vintage stores, or she would find pieces and, deconstruct them and re-sew them and change them and make them more appealing and then resell them for much more than what she bought them for.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love it.
It's kind of like it's kind of like what we do with our jokes.
Right, repurpose old jokes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm a huge
way to being on the cover of Forbes.
Yeah, we will.
It's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. Well, look, here's the thing. I'm a big thrifter, and I have tons of stuff that I've gotten for pennies that's probably worth millions. I just need to go through it all and sort it out and put it on eBay.
We'll be millionaires.
Millionaires.
Okay, we asked you which is worse, lingerie or Spanx, and you said lingerie, and that is?
All right.
Good job. That's right. Correct.
I did it right? Oh, good.
Yeah, it's just so uncomfortable.
I was expecting to get that one wrong, but I'm glad I didn't.
So we have gone into great detail about our issues as men with lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
Because
what are they?
Well, we think it makes women seem less comfortable,
right,
than they should when it's about to be sexy time.
That's right.
Well, the first problem is you call it sexy time.
Like, you know, Ellie, when on TV or something, when a lady says, "Let me go change into something more comfortable," and then they come back with like a corset and a bodice and like high heels on and shit, and you're like, that is not comfortable.
Not at all.
That does not seem comfortable. No.
So
and Spanx are designed to make a woman feel more comfortable in what she's wearing. So that's why I gave it my vote.
All right.
But I mean, if you're a woman who slips into lingerie to feel more comfortable, I mean, more power to you. I am not that woman, but I hope she's out there.
Mm-hmm.
She is not. I'm checking.
She is. She's Cindy Crawford or Kate Moss.
Hey, there you go. There you go. Oh, man.
And then I just wanted to hit one more highlight in the list before we go.
Sure.
I asked you, which is worse, L.A. bros or Chicago bros? And you said, by God, I can't believe you said it. You said Chicago bros. And that is very, very wrong, Ellie. How dare you?
So offended.
I know.
Have you forgot?
Is this because you've had an experience out in LA with LA Bros?
Yeah. Do you have a significant other we should know about?
I do. Johnny should know about him. He knows him. His name's Morgan. He's an actor as well. I don't know what his take would be on Chicago Bros versus LA Bros, but and it might for me just be that I'm dealing with a new brand of bro.
Oh.
You know, I got a little sick of the same bro brand after, like, you know, 20-something years in Chicago.
I can
so
do
variety is helpful in terms of putting up your defenses.
Hey, new bros.
Yeah, that's a good theory. I think that holds up.
Sometimes new bros, like if you love bro ice cream, but then you move to another place, but they don't have bro ice cream. They have bro pie. And you're like, oh, shit, let me eat some of this bro pie for a little bit.
Yeah.
Guess I got to get on board with bro pie. I mean, that's all they have here. So.
Come on.
That's really good stuff.
Well, Ellie, we don't want to take any more of your time, but best of luck with everything. We're going to be watching this show.
Thank you.
Binging.
We're going to binge it. Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to rate that title. We're going to rate that title 5 stars.
And then we're going to purge our thoughts.
Yes.
We just want to make sure that we're supporting you, and we're hoping that the show is a huge success. And that you get a second season and get to continue to do more and more great work out there.
Amen.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun. Thank you for having me on.
Awesome. Thank you for talking to us, and thank you for listening to us. It was awesome to know that you'd actually heard this damn show before. Who knew? I didn't think anybody was listening.
All right, everybody. This is Ellie Reed, Starl of Girl Boss on Netflix, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Take it easy.
Thanks, Ellie. Peace.
Thanks, Ellie.
All right. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Pie.
Not a bad, gentlemen.
Not bad.
Not
at all.
Terrible.
Fuck that up at all.
Not at all.
Did we?
Well, no. I was going to say we should probably take a break and come back and do the news, right? You want to do the news? I want to hear the news.
Yeah, let's take a break, and we'll be right back after
this. The Game Show Show and Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network is brought to you by Tweaked Audio. Tweaked Audio. Sounds so good, you'll tweak. Tweaked Audio has earbuds in several styles and colors with flat cable and inline mic. Plus, they offer a classic metal or stylish wood design and waterproof sports buds with silicone caps that hold them in place no matter what your activity. Not only that, Tweaked Audio also offers an over-the-head option with removable cable and inline one-button microphone for travel, stereo, or studio use. Go to tweakedaudio.com to order yours now and use the code GAMESHOW for 33% off and free worldwide shipping. Tweakedaudio.com. Tweaked Audio. Sounds so good, you'll tweak.
Wait, what did you just say? What did you just say? When you go to Hollywood, they give you a better phone connection.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Well, that's a quality of life thing.
You notice when we talk to guys in Iowa and Kentucky, they're like...
There's something to that.
Something. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Game Show Show and Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. I'm Jazz. He's Andy.
Why, thank you, darling. And it's good to be back. That
Indeed.
Was a fun interview.
No doubt.
With a great phone connection.
Yeah. Best phone connection ever.
We have big stars from SNL on the phone that can't fucking have their phone stay on for 5 seconds. They're like, I'm driving under a... Can you hear me?
Yep.
And you're like, no! I mean, I can now. But then it's all frustrating because you can always hear someone when they say, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Right.
But you couldn't hear them the last 30 seconds.
Nope. Life is so hard.
Anyway, Jazz, it's time to do the news.
Time now for Anderson Lawford presents something about things in the news and stuff.
Thank you, Derek, Slow Batman.
Oh, boy.
Our first story today is a real head-turner.
Is it now?
Crack whores.
Everywhere you look.
A Mississippi man was recently caught having sex with a horse.
Oh.
What was his reasoning, Johnny?
I'm going to go ahead and say because it was a horse.
Close enough. The horse seduced him.
Oh,
okay. Well, that's a new one.
Well, they do have big, deep brown eyes.
Yeah, big labia. Big, beautiful horse labia.
Oh, God. So nasty. What happened, Andy?
Kevin Hall, 36, checked into the ranch for a week-long vacation. Mm-hmm. However, after spending his first day on a guided horseback tour, he instantly noticed that one of the horses was flirting with him. That night, he said he was too tired to join the rest of the guests for a campfire dinner.
Here, let me play this out. Oh, hey, guys. I think I'm going to have to call it a night early.
It was lobster on the menu.
I know, and it's great. But
and corn on the cob.
Yeah. I get it, guys. But man,
and campfire songs.
Mm-hmm. I totally get it, but I think I really need to lie down. That horse ride really took it out of me. Oh, but okay. Hey, have fun, and I'll see you guys at breakfast.
We'll
tomorrow,
check okay? you later.
Great.
Sounds good.
Thanks, guys.
Early in the morning, the ranch owner heard a commotion coming from the stables.
Oh, God.
I rushed out into the darkness to see what was going on. Working on a ranch, I heard stories about some sick freaks that have sex with animals, but I have never seen it in real life, and it was just as disgusting thing to see right in front of me. I shouted at him, "Get out of here! Get your clothes on!"
Get your clothes on.
After he was decent, I asked him what the heck was going on. What the H.E. Calvin Klein was going on around here? He looked me in the eye and said, "I couldn't help it. She seduced me when I was riding her today. I just had to have her."
Oh, no.
It's just sick, sick, and depraved. I don't know if that kind of thing is tolerated in Florida.
Oh, not in Florida.
But it's just not right.
Oh, my God.
To date, no charges have been filed against Hall. Because he has already returned to Pensacola, Florida.
Man, got away with this one this time. But I'm going to miss her. I'm going to miss Daisy so much. I don't know how I'm going to fill that part of my life now. No one makes me feel the way she does.
You're going to have to send Daisy some of those postcards like Tim Robbins does from Zihuatanejo. It just says the name of the town, but no name. Right. In Shawshank Redemption.
Yep. Right. Yep.
That's a fun story.
That is crazy.
I guess so.
Our next story is Fuck You, Scott.
And the horse you rode in on.
I hope this is exactly what I think it is.
Yeah.
Scott Van Zyl made his living taking wealthy clients on safaris for the sole purpose of bringing home trophies like leopards, zebras, wildebeests, and lions.
What? Gross.
But now investigators in Zimbabwe believe that Van Zyl ended up on the wrong end of a predator-prey relationship.
Really?
And DNA tests have confirmed that he was attacked, killed, and eaten by crocodiles.
All right!
Fuck you,
Scott!
Scott Van Zyl, who ran SS Pro Safaris, offered specials for hunters to spend a week or more on his hunting lands, which border nature preserves.
Wait a minute. This guy's name was Van Zyl, and he named his company SS?
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
His guests had the promise of killing up to 7 different species of animals for $9,000.
Motherfuckers.
He also offered other hunting expositions with targets like elephants and giraffes.
Elephants?
Come on.
Though those prices aren't listed on their website.
Yeah, they better not be.
Photos of clients holding the bodies of several rare species are posted on Van Zyl's site along with the motto, "Stop whining, go hunting."
Oh, come on.
The circumstances surrounding his death are spotty, but reports suggest that Van Zyl and a second hunter and a pack of dogs went into the prairie. The two men split up, choosing to travel on foot alone, but when the dogs returned to the base camp without Van Zyl, his companion knew something was wrong.
Uh-oh.
His footprints were tracked to a riverbank, where searchers found his backpack, as well as several large Nile crocodiles.
They ripped him apart.
That's awesome.
Authorities killed the crocs after getting clearance to do so, and subsequently discovered human remains inside the stomachs.
Wow.
Tests of the remains matched Van Zyl.
Nice.
The incident is just one of a handful of fatal crocodile attacks so far in 2017.
Wow. They're coming for us.
Holy yeah. God.
They're out to get us, guys.
And now, listen, fuck you, Scott.
As much as Scott deserves this, and he does, it's still horrific to think of alligators eating someone.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, and the way that I've heard them describe the way they kill, it's...
Like, shake their heads and...
Well, and I guess what they do is once they basically break your bones or break your back or your neck or whatever, then they drag you under the water to their
lair,
nest, right? Mm-hmm. Their evil lair. And while you're underwater,
solitude.
They do the roll, right? And so they roll their body and they roll you and they force you to drown if you haven't already died. Wow. And then they take your body and then they feast on you from there.
I wish there was a way for them to just kill us right away.
Well, you know.
Not him, but us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like if they had poison teeth.
Yeah, if only there was a way to make it faster so that
for
if
us.
We did succumb to the crocodile, it wouldn't be as painful. But
man,
no,
I'm
that's...
telling you, one day we're going to leave this studio and walk downstairs and open the door and there's going to be a 10-foot-long crocodile sitting right there.
Stop it.
I'm telling you.
Oh, man. I hope I don't live to see that day.
Yeah.
Hope something else kills me first.
You're like, it's time to move.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's time to play Dead in Chicago.
Yeah. The fun and exciting game where Andy tells us about people dying in Chicago, and we have to guess what killed them.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Whoops. Sounds so fun.
Sounds so fun.
The story's from Beverly, and it's from last week.
What?
Beverly in the neighborhood in Chicago?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. You guys ready?
Last week.
Now, I do want to set some expectations for the story.
Okay, please do.
Because no one died.
Wait, what?
In Dead in Chicago this week.
All right.
It was just a disaster.
Okay.
You guys are going to need to fill in the blank.
Okay.
What caused the disaster?
Okay.
So this is a disaster in Chicago. All right. Fair enough.
Once again, nobody was injured in a fire that damaged a Beverly home last Wednesday morning, including one fire that was blamed on blank.
Ooh.
Okay.
The fire occurred about 6 a.m. 2600 block of West 100th Place.
Oh, I know exactly where that is. Yeah.
According to several men who helped board up the house. A resident of the home on 100th Place said the fire was caused by an electrical malfunction brought on by blanks who had made their way into the small room off the back of the house.
Okay.
What was it?
Wow, interesting.
What started the electrical fire?
What could get in and cause that type of malfunction? Is it an insect? Is it a rodent? Is it a child? Is it a... Because Lord knows, plenty of that stuff is kids just fucking around. Hmm. I don't know.
Let's start with Johnny. He yeah. looks deep in thought.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm going to guess... Rats.
Okay.
Rats.
Okay.
Rats started the fire yeah. in Beverly.
Because they have a tendency to chew through electrical wires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. And Jazz?
I'm gonna opt for something a little more invertebrate. I'm gonna go with
a little more exotic.
Yeah. Jellyfish or something.
It was definitely the jellyfish.
Fucking slow Batman.
In the basement. In the basement with the candlestick. Okay, no. I'm going to say worms. Some sort of worm or insect slithered in there and gummed up the works. Initially, I thought raccoons because raccoons are so mischievous and smart.
And assholes.
And they're fucking assholes.
They're assholes.
Bunch of fucking dickbags. Anyway, so, yeah. So, I'm going to say worms.
Worms for Jazz and rats for Johnny. Mm-hmm. You're both incorrect. It was squirrels.
Really?
Squirrel started the fire.
It was the rodent variety. Okay. Well, yeah, you were closer, though, Johnny Moe. Good job.
Squirrels didn't start the fire.
And that was Dead in Chicago.
Even though this was a special disaster version.
This is like the end of spring break.
Thank you. Yeah, the air horn taps.
Spring break's over, bros! Yeah.
That won't get annoying after a while.
Oh, add in some more harmonies!
Well, what's next, Anderson?
The next is a story coming our way from Florida.
Yes! Our favorite place to hate.
That is where spring break died. In Destin. Destin, Florida. All Johnny, right. I'd like your help with a reenactment for this one as well.
Okay, great.
Good. Nice.
A former Florida middle school teacher who faces several charges after police say she drove drunk and caused a crash put on quite a performance for a state trooper.
Listen, I'm a school teacher, okay? You can tell me what to do with my life. Okay?
Serena.
Oscar. Oscar needs another drink. That's not fine. I'm just fine. Let me just get in the car.
Serena Parker, 43, in a video from a dash cam, is shown telling a trooper, "I want to kiss you."
Awesome.
That's sexy.
Hey, you're like, kiss me. I want you to kiss me. Just kiss me. Come on! Kiss
and then she says, if you don't stop looking at me like that, I'm going to kiss you.
You're so hot. If you don't stop looking at me like you're doing right now, I'm going to kiss you.
Parker.
My name's Serena. I think we should go down the street to the motel and you should fuck me.
Parker. The trooper said was driving with her 10-year-old son in the car.
Oh. His son. I like the car.
Said that she wasn't driving, and then she tried to leave to use the bathroom.
I had to go to the potty. So, that's why I'm here.
What's your son's name, ma'am?
Hey! What's your name?
Kevin.
It's Kevin.
Oh. Are you telling us Kevin was driving?
Yes. Why, you think I'm a liar? Because I'm not a liar. And I'm a school teacher. And I help people!
And then Serena Parker starts complaining about the students she teaches.
This
to the highway patrol
officer. This little fucking bitch tries to tell me that her parents are going to get me fired. No! Listen, you little. I can't even say what I want to say in my class because. Can you just kiss me and make me feel better? I just want to feel good. I just want to feel good.
Kevin, shut up!
Just kiss me real quick. Just real quick. Okay. Listen, I'll totally suck you off.
Miami-Dade school officials said Parker was on probation and she has been fired and will never be allowed to apply to other schools in the district.
Well, of course, because did you not hear what she just said?
Yeah, that was actual dash cam footage, by the way. Parker was released on bond the next day. She faces charges of DUI, DUI with property damage, careless driving, and battery on a police officer.
Fucked.
Damn.
She is fucked.
Battery?
That's a lot of charges.
What, for trying to kiss him? Did she grab his junk or something?
Might be. Maybe.
I bet.
All right, Jazz, our next story comes to us from North Carolina, and it's called Hash Balls.
Delicious, I think.
A food company is recalling frozen hash browns from stores in 9 states because the potatoes have pieces of golf balls in them.
What?
Wow, delicious.
For that extra crunch.
McCain Foods USA's recall notice says the golf balls apparently were inadvertently harvested along with the potatoes.
They're in the
up.
Fucking potatoes. You don't have to fucking make up
they
language.
Must be by a green, like a driving a course right next to it.
Yes.
There's just fucking golf balls.
There's
everywhere.
A golf course or the guys who work out there are driving and then they lose their fucking balls.
Yeah.
And then they found their fucking balls.
They say the pizzas could be a choking hazard.
Oh.
Jesus. Did they say what states?
The company is recalling 2-pound bags of Harris Teeter brand frozen Southern-style hash browns.
Okay.
In North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, D.C., Delaware, Florida, Georgia, and Maryland.
Okay.
Good. Just
it's also recalling Roundy's brand frozen hash browns from Mariano's.
Oh, no!
In Illinois and Wisconsin.
A little closer to home, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, this story reveals a couple things. One, that they don't know what's coming in.
Mm-hmm,
there
sometimes.
Could be carrots and fucking babies or something. You know, you could be harvesting babies.
Baby carrots.
Yeah. Not to mention baby carrots.
Good one, Johnny Boy.
The other thing it tells me is that Harris Teeter and the other store is called Pick and Save.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Pick and Save!
Is selling the same hash browns with a different title on the bag.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As well as Mariano's.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if any of our listeners are from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been to a Mariano's.
Some are, I imagine.
It is wildly expensive to go to Mariano's.
It is
to buy
not
groceries.
Cheap. It is not cheap.
And a bag of hash browns is probably, what do you think, $4.50?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I bet at Pick and Save in North Carolina.
Yeah.
That same bag of hash browns is 90 cents.
No, $2.25.
$2.25.
$2.25. That'd be my guess. Yeah, if we were on the Prices Right, that'd be my guess in South Carolina.
If this was a dildo, I'd guess $14 in our game.
That's right,
the price of love. So that's the other thing it reveals is people hitting golf balls into the food that we're paying $4.50 for a fucking bag of 1 pound of broke up potatoes has golf balls in it. At the same time, the same golf balls are in a bag of $2 hash browns in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay.
So are you more upset that someone in South Carolina is getting a cheaper dildo than you?
That's exactly what I'm upset about.
Oh, okay.
I don't care about golf balls. I may eat worse shit than that. I just don't want to overpay.
That's right.
I don't want to overpay for my tainted fucking food.
Yeah. And then a recall. I got to drive all the way back there.
Right. That's right. Well, and what it really points up is the fact that they pool all these resources from different places, take them to one common location, mix up all of the aggregate parts that they have collected, and then process it and then redistribute it back.
That's
so
it.
It's just a lot of futility and wasted fuel. And
Henry Ford really fucked us with this.
Yeah, he sure did.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was
conveyor belts.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was whoever created the
potato
combustible engine.
Oh. Whoever invented potatoes out there. Carl Potato.
That's right. The potato family.
Pot Otto.
Chinese spiders.
What?
I said, what?
Get ready. 28-year-old Ming Su has been collecting tarantulas
since
2010.
Oh, good.
And she now has 1,500 of them living in her house.
What?
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
No,
you guys just walked yourselves right into a game show exclusive report.
Is that right?
Ming Su's obsession with tarantulas began 7 years ago when she spotted a beautifully colored tarantula in her yard in Bandung City, Indonesia. She only took some photos of it, but the more she looked at the pictures, the more fascinated she became with the eight-legged creatures. And it wasn't long before she started looking online for people selling tarantulas.
Okay.
She bought one, then another.
Yeah.
And before she knew it, Ming was hooked.
Oh, no.
This sounds like the horse fucker from Pensacola.
Oh.
Yeah, that tarantula was flirting with me. Had to fuck it.
You see that picture?
Yeah. Now I got 4,000 spider babies. Look just like me. Over the past 7 years, she spent over $55,000 on tarantulas.
My God.
And now has 1,500 of them living in a special room in her house.
Oh.
No.
The 28-year-old spider enthusiast keeps her furry pets in jars and glass terrariums, which take up an entire room. Oh. Her collection includes all kinds of tarantula species, some native to Indonesia and others imported from all over the world.
Wow.
But there are still two rare varieties that she hopes will one day complete her collection.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Trigmopius psychedelicus.
Good job there, Anderson.
From India. And Harpactera pulcripes from Africa.
Good job, Andy. Those are tough.
Now, as you can imagine, Jazz.
Yes, Anderson.
Taking care of 1,500 tarantulas is a full-time job.
Yeah.
Ming Su told the media that she spends around, get this, 10 hours a day feeding tarantulas.
What?
Making sure they have enough water and checking if they are all healthy.
Wait. How the fuck does somebody who spends $55,000 on spiders is able to not have a job and then fucking...
Yeah, that sounds like some bitch in America.
Kind of stuff.
Oh, my God.
But she has been able to turn her passion into a business, so she doesn't have to do it all in her free time.
Oh.
Learning how to breed tarantulas proved a difficult task in the beginning, of course.
Sure.
And Ming claims that she had to repeatedly buy new males because the female tarantulas would eat them. Oh my God! I get the creeps just talking. Yeah. About
it is pretty creepy. I gotta say, I'm creeped out. I was just thinking, like, how big of a room would you need? And then I'm imagining this room filled with tarantulas and all those tarantulas around me. And if one false move, if you get a tremor, you got somebody with one of those noisemaker machines.
Yeah,
they could totally disrupt
fucking
your tarantula
all the things break.
Population. Oh my gosh! And then they don't care. They don't love you the way you love them. They're just gonna crawl on your face.
Yeah, they don't love you.
Fucking
right.
Greg Brady style and try to keep you from winning the surf contest. God damn it. They don't care.
That's all they care about is surf contest. She got the hang of it eventually, and she's been able to produce new specimens for sale to other tarantula enthusiasts.
That's how she does it.
She doesn't sell any specimens from her private collection, though.
Oh, sure.
So she has a whole separate room just for selling tarantulas, and these are my keeping tarantulas.
Right. So if it costs her 55 grand or whatever to get 1,500 spiders, so that means that she's probably, if she's getting multiple babies out of these things, that she's making a healthy profit off all of
those. But how do you get them out? Like, how do you?
I mean, she's got to have a common, she's got to have like a really big 50-gallon tank where she can put two in and let them spend a week vacation, getting to know each other, finding romance, breaking the ice, all that shit, and then making babies. And then the mama's got to stay in there. You know, like probably, or at least for a while until she, you know, put them eggs up somewhere. Because don't they spin them up into little bundles? Isn't that how they do it? Usually they spin them into sacks. And
let's not talk about that.
It's like Charlotte's Web, bro.
I have no idea.
Come on, man. Look, just think Charlotte's Web.
You're creeping me out, bro.
When I get creeped out by spiders and stuff, I just always think back to Charlotte's Web. And I'm like, it's just a little cartoon.
Yeah, what is that what does that spider write out with his web? Something like quote from a book or something?
let's see. I forget what the first one is. I mean, the first one is either beautiful or
what if it's like Heil Hitler? These spiders are Nazis.
Oh,
like that Chinese guy. Remember?
Right. Yeah.
I love white cock.
Oh, don't let's not talk about that guy, man.
Yeah, fuck that
guy.
In
the 7 years she has been raising spiders, Ming Su claims to have only been bitten 14 times. That's
only
twice a year.
Oh, only.
Some are more serious than others, depending on what species of tarantula had done the biting.
The fucking tarantula's goddamn poisonous bites, yes?
She says the ones from the least venomous specimens didn't hurt too bad, but required a bit of ice to reduce the swelling. The highly venomous ones were a whole different story. They involved visits to a hospital, chills, fever, and sleepless nights. But despite those few unpleasant experiences, Ming Su says she never considered giving up her passion.
Oh,
you just have to be careful, she says.
Yeah.
But tarantulas are not to be feared. They are much less dangerous than, say, snakes.
Oh.
And even though some of them bit me, I still care about them.
Oh.
In the tarantula enthusiast community, Ming Su is known as Queen Tarantula.
Wow. Good for her.
Good
for her. And just so we all know, the first message Charlotte spun into a web was some pig. It was a sign, you know, to call attention to the runt. Remember, it's the runt? What the heck is the name of the damn pig, though?
I don't know.
I don't give a shit.
Dolores.
Dolores.
Susan B. Anthony. Susan don't they all have a bunch of fucking, like...
I think you're thinking of Animal Farm.
Oh, Animal
Farm. Different pigs, bro.
I love that book, Animal Farm, back in the day.
Good stuff.
I'm more of a Johnny Tremaine Wilbur. Guy.
There you go. It was Wilbur was the name of the
book. Wilbur,
right.
Yeah,
thank you. God.
When I was a kid...
I actually remembered that without having to Google anything, guys. Do you believe it? I can't fucking believe it.
You evolved.
I didn't even have to
Don't look it up.
What's the next story, Andy?
When I was a kid, I remember reading Johnny Tremaine and thinking, this is the most fucking boring thing I've ever read in my life. And I remember thinking, like, this is such an exciting time, the revolution in the United States and everything. And then this book sucks so bad about such an exciting thing.
Well, that's because life sucked back then, Anderson. So they're writing.
But life wasn't boring.
Now you're right. It wasn't boring. But it did suck. There was a lot more hardship.
But now if you go back, like last year I went and I found a copy in my school of Johnny Tremaine and I started flipping through it.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh no, it does. It sucks. It's terrible. It's terrible as I remember it being.
Your memories served you well.
Yeah.
From your childhood.
Of that one thing.
Of that one thing.
Anyway, that's the news.
Oh, the news.
This has been Anderson Lauffer Presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
Everybody's favorite segment of the game show, Show and Stuff. I hardly wanted it to be over. I can't believe it's already over.
Only a short 8 stories long.
That's right.
As longer than the local news.
Yeah.
Well, what's next, Anderson?
Well, it's time for birthday shout-outs.
And today is April 25th, which means it's a great day to be...
a British badass.
An Italian inventor.
An American anchorman.
Or D, all of the above.
Happy birthday, my man, Oliver Cromwell.
As Lord Protector of the Commonwealth of England, Ireland, and Scotland, you were mad controversial, bro.
They called you Old Ironsides, and not just because of your armor, dog. You were one mean dude.
Mean dude. From Parliament to the new model army, you rose through the ranks and even killed a king. Ruthless, yo.
Happy birthday, Googly Elmo Marconi.
First Marquis of Marconi and first to transmit radio frequencies long distance. Buon lavoro, signore.
You founded the wireless telegraph and signal company and won the Nobel Prize for physics. Molto bene.
Molto bene. Thanks to you, we can send messages through antennas and satellites to people sitting right next to us. Grazie.
Happy birthday, Edward R. Murrow.
On the radio and on the television, millions of Americans got their news straight from you every night.
Your reports from Europe during World War II were revolutionary for the time and changed broadcasting forever.
Then your show, See It Now, helped quell the Red Scare and end McCarthyism. Good night, and good luck.
And let's not forget
European kings, Edward II of England, Conrad IV of Germany, and Louis IX of France.
Coffee King Zev Siegel, founder of Starbucks.
Al Pacino, a.k.a. Scarface.
Say hello to my little friend.
Hank Azaria, a.k.a. Apu.
Nahasapima Petalon. Thank you. Come again.
Talia Shire, a.k.a. Adrian Balboa.
Adrian!
And Renee Zellweger, a.k.a. Bridget Jones.
What happened to your face, though?
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
And also born today,
All-American Girls Professional Baseball League star Joyce Ricketts of the Grand Rapids Chicks.
Go Chicks!
And hair transplantation procedure addict and everybody's least favorite announcer, Joe Buck.
Japanese wrestling star Mr. Hito.
And today's birthday shout-out band is...
On guitar, blues legend Albert King.
On bass, Eric Avery of Jane's Addiction.
Also on bass, Stu Cook of CCR.
On drums, Steve Ferrone of the Heartbreakers.
On keys, Michael Brown of Story.
On saxophone, jazz legend Earl Bostick.
With 80s pop by Andy Bell of Erasure.
Yeah, and the incomparable vocals of the immortal Ella Fitzgerald.
Skiddly bop bop bop. But if you have a birthday shout-out, if you're out there listening and would like your name in the birthday segment, write us an email, andstuff@radiomisfits.com.
Birthday shout-outs are made possible by Today in History, an application developed by Downshift Interactive and available online for free.
Visit the appetizer store or Google Play for information.
You know, Anderson, that sounds so delicious. I want to eat some birthday cake, and that's birthday shout-outs.
Happy birthday, all y'all!
I'm Derek the Slow Batman.
Freeze, Mr. Freeze. Are you Poison Ivy?
I hope to God. Look, I would say go on Twitter or on Instagram and just do a C2E2 tag and then a Batman. And I bet you if you will find the dude. I'm going to find a picture of the dude and I'll post it on the Facebook.
Slow Batman. Maybe he'll be our guest next week.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Derek, Slow Batman.
Who knows? You know what, though? I hope not, because what if I've totally misjudged this guy and he's actually a genius and,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you fucked all this up.
Oh, my God. I'm an asshole.
What's Batman's butler's name?
Alfred.
Alfred.
Is my bat suit ready to go? I'm late for the bus. Thanks for the Velcro bat suit.
Oh, man. And next time on Slow Batman, we got to do a whole series of these. But yeah, we got to stop doing them now because I think it's about time, isn't it?
All right, Johnny Jazz, see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. All right, Ramblers, let's get Ramblers.
That's it. It's over. Show's over.
Let me get my shoes. What the
f***
happened to my shoes?
Okay, show me.
Ha 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 ha!